This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots look to end a two-game losing streak in Buffalo against the Bills.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam
and this
Jones,
guy's the host.
With you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios.
Although he does just ignore us.
I got to tell you, that on-off button
is really easy to use. When it's green, it's on. It means talk, go. And when it's red, but it's maybe, not.
You know what it is? He could be colorblind.
Did they move that on-off switch from last week? I think that's what happened.
It seems to give a problem to only the professionals, because John Rook has the same problem.
Hashtag Rook is better.
Peanut butter and jam.
Good start to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Let's hope the Patriots bounce back better than Adam Jones.
I was going to say, sort of like how the Patriots have gone through these last couple of weeks. They now sit at 1-2 after losing on a game-winning field goal in Baltimore. They're below 500 for the first time since 2003. They lost in Buffalo last season. So I ask you guys, how worried are you about this team?
The team? Not worried at all. The game? Slightly more worried with the news of Logan Mankins not playing. And you know, one thing Vince Wilfork talked about this week, and I'm sure it was a coaching point from Bill Belichick, because generally the players sort of regurgitate the messages from the coach during the week, and he talked about how it seems like every Bills game, the first one of the year, is difficult, is a dogfight. You mentioned last year they lost. They've had the comebacks. They had the one where they had to come back late in the fourth quarter here a couple of years ago. They had to come back in Buffalo. You know, they obviously lost the 31-0 game back way back when, you know, the other time they were below 500. And, you know, I think that's legitimate. And, you know, one thing we talked about on PFW in Progress this week was sort of the, you know, dirt poor man's offense, that sort of the cheap Ravens. It's, you know, they got the receiver, they got the quarterback, the running backs they have, A, aren't as good and are banged up, but they sort of have the weapons, sort of that key triangle of running back, quarterback, receiver, that can challenge a defense more than, say, the Titans had, or more than, say, you know, the Cardinals had. So I think there's reason that fans might be a little dubious and have a little trepidation. I don't have it. I think they're going to go out there. I think they're going to spread the Bills out and blow the doors off the Bills. But I can see reasons why some people would have fear.
I am a little bit more cautious than Andy. I think I feel very strongly that the Patriots are going to win this game. So in that regard, we're in lockstep. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as Andy does. I think Buffalo's offense, negative that I think they're going to win the game.
This sounds like week two, just for the record, when I was called negative for picking the Cardinals.
Well, we haven't gotten your opinion yet as to whether they're going to cover or not.
I think that Buffalo is an offense that either moves the ball and scores or makes a lot of mistakes and turns it over. If it's one of those games where it makes a lot of mistakes and turns it over, Andy's theory, who I should add, our illustrious boss, Fred Kurtz, shares the same one.
Actually, kind
blowout.
Of goes
blowout.
Even past mine. He thinks they're going to beat the hell out of. He's predicting like 56-3.
If Fitzpatrick is a guy, Adam, that will give you some opportunities. He will try to jam throws in there that aren't always there, and he's not the
McCourty
strongest.
Is a guy who will give those opportunities back to you.
He's not the strongest arm guy. He throws a lot of quick slants where it's just timing, and he has to throw it before he knows if the guy's open or not. So it lends itself to some mistakes. This is an offense, however, I think can give the Patriots defense some problems. I expect them to move the football and score some points here. I just think the Patriots will score more points. See, I don't think it will be a 48-3 blowout like you know, my colleagues.
I don't know, 35-10.
I was going to say, I'm not thinking that big, but a couple touchdowns or double digits or something along those lines.
I think the Patriots will score the last touchdown to make it that, though. I don't think this is going to be a blowout.
You just look at, on paper, these two teams. I mean, the Patriots are 1-2, Bills are 2-1. Bills are at home, but I don't know. You look at the teams they've played so far this season, blown out by the Jets in their season opener. And who knows? Maybe that's a new team coming together and struggling with expectations in the season opener on the road, whatever it was.
Yeah, they've played nobody.
But their last two wins, Kansas City, and they struggled with Cleveland. And you saw Cleveland on Thursday night. That's not a good football team. They struggled on the road.
Saw Cleveland on Thursday night take the Baltimore Ravens to the last play of the game.
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
That's the way of looking
well,
at it.
Well, no, or you could just say
that's what happened.
The team is inept offensively, and that Bills team gives up and plays in a 10-point game with Cleveland.
Wait a minute.
That's
sort
of the way I look at it.
And they were inept offensively against Buffalo. They scored 14 points.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at it as that's a game that they should have ran away from them. They should have ran away from Cleveland in that game. Granted, Baltimore didn't either.
Cleveland stinks.
But at least Baltimore's coming in on a short week. At least Baltimore has an excuse. I don't know that the Bills have that excuse.
I think Cleveland stinks. I also think Buffalo was well on the way to doing exactly what you said when C.J. Spiller got hurt. Now, that counts. Because, oh, by the way, C.J. Spiller is still hurt. And whether he plays or not today, and we have a tweet that Andy I saw retweeted earlier from Tim Graham, our buddy who used to work for ESPN.com, now back up in Buffalo. He says Fred Jackson's in today. C.J. Spiller is still yet to be determined. So it was 14-0 in the Bills in the first quarter when Spiller went down. By all appearances, it looked like exactly what you're describing was about to happen. And he goes out. Jackson was already out. That's two big weapons. And they end up winning the game, fairly easily. They were never in trouble in the game. 24-14 on the road, I don't know. I think for a team that's building like Buffalo, to say that that was a bad performance, I think, is maybe a little
well,
unfair.
And so maybe I'm overstating it. I don't think I'm overstating the fact
they haven't played anybody.
They played and beaten no one.
And that I would wholeheartedly agree
with. That 2-1 record, I just think it's a little misleading in that regard.
It's not as impressive as the Patriots 1-2 record. I mean, it's not. I mean, even though their record's better, Andy, I know you're going to get on me for my win-based formula.
I mean, I don't know if the Titans are too impressive of a win, but they did hang in with
not,
the other
but,
two.
But Arizona, I don't think is a great team, but they're 3-0. And Baltimore is obviously a good team. And, you go.
We're resorting to moral victories. Our 1-2 is better than your 2-1.
I agree.
We played the good teams close.
In other words, I don't think the Bills would be 2-1 if they played the same three games that the Patriots did. I think they'd be 1-2 at best.
Maybe.
I just think their record's a little misleading. You look at 2-1 and you say, okay, maybe that's a good. We just don't know yet. And that's why I would side with the Patriots in this. And I would tend to lean more towards a 2-touchdown or 10-point win for New England in this one. And look, we already know who's been ruled out, or at least 6 of the 7 players who have been inactive for the Patriots.
Should we play guess the inactive?
we can get there in a little bit.
How much further down Taylor Price Way does Shane Vereen go today?
This is the week,
does
Andy.
Does he back up a little bit? Beep, beep, beep,
no.
beep.
Before, nope, he's before on the we, field today.
Before
yeah,
we
so
get to Vereen. Before
he's
we get
backing
to Vereen.
Out of the street.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're doing there.
Here are the 6 players that are out for the Patriots. Logan Mankins, who we learned did not travel with the team with a hip injury. He's the second Patriot with a hip injury, right, Andy?
Yeah, the hippest team in the NFL.
Ba-dum-cha. Aaron Hernandez, yeah, also out.
Takes forever for my rim shot.
With an ankle injury. Julian Edelman, hand injury. Brandon Dederick, ankle injury. Alphonso Dennard, hamstring. And Justin Francis, ankle injury. Those are the 6 players who won't be playing for the Patriots today. We should find out the 7th inactive coming up here in roughly a half an hour. We knew Hernandez would be out for this one. How big of a blow is not having Mankins?
I think it's huge. I mean, the strength of that Buffalo defense, I would argue, is the interior of the line. I know the money's kind of on the outside with Williams and Mark Anderson, but Kyle Williams is probably one of the more underrated, in terms of name recognition, players in the National Football League. And obviously Darius is a good young impact player. And it's also what I've talked about, the combination. It's not so much that I don't think they can put somebody out there that can kind of be competitive in Mankins' stead, but now you have Thomas Wendell Conley lined up, or Wendell Tennant Conley, or some grouping of guys that are borderline starters, probably all kind of should be backups, and now they're all right in the middle of the field, right in front of Tom Brady, right in front of Stephen Ridley, and they're lined up right in front of what I think is the strength of the other team's defense.
So instead of being able to get away with one here and there,
right,
it's the collection of all three.
And I
of
saw
them
Mike Giardi tweeted, last year they were without Mankins, and Wendell came in and did a good job. Well, yeah, but he's already a starter. You're moving down your depth chart against a solid defensive front.
Yeah, well, that's I'm with Andy on this one. And not only you have two guys that are talented in Williams and Darius, but they're big guys. Darius is 330 pounds. And it's, you know, one of the things, one of the drawbacks for Wendell specifically is his size. He's not that big, and he's more of an athletic finesse type center, kind of like Dan Copen was. And these are the kinds of guys that gave Dan Copen trouble because they were just too big. And I'm not going to sit there and tell you this whole game is going to get blown up because your center can't handle the two defensive tackles, your center and guards. But that's the kind of pressure to me. If you're going to beat the Patriots, that's how you do it. Because I don't care how many times you beat the tackles off the edge, Tom will handle that for the most part. Yeah, he'll get blindsided once in a while, like he did last week against Baltimore in a big spot. But to me, if you can consistently push the pocket and not allow him anywhere to move up, that's how you slow down the Patriots' passing game. That's what the Giants have done in the big games in the past 5 years. That's the only way to do it. If you just relying on edge pressure, it's not going to be enough. This is a concern. I think Andy's right on with this one. Mankins is a guy that you knew would hold up. Now you might have Thomas Conley and Wendell in there, and I'm not sure that those guys can hold up.
And it's getting worse. That's the other issue with the Mankins. You know, he missed some practice last week, goes out there, works out before the game, plays, and now he misses all of practice, doesn't play, and we know he's tough. We know it's not a
can't. And that's part of it, too.
It's not a want to, it's a can't today.
I love those.
The guy played through an ACL last year, so this is worse than an ACL in terms of limiting his mobility or playing through pain.
Yeah.
And it's going the wrong direction.
And maybe that's why he's not playing.
Maybe he's not playing because they said, this is going to become a season-long injury if we keep forcing it, give him a week off, whatever, 2 weeks off, and try to get this healed, get him back out there. But it's a concern. It's a major concern. It's why I said to you, I think today is a spread them out day. Get rid of the ball quickly. Five wide sets. We're not trying to run the ball behind all these guys that probably are going to lose one-on-one battles in the middle of the field or even two-on-one battles. I'm not sure that any two of those guys or one of the other guy is going to be winning that battle with frequency. So, you know, quick drops, get rid of the ball, timing offense, get some points, go from there.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. I totally agree with Andy. I think that's the way to go today. A lot of times people think if you spread it out and you go empty, how can you protect the quarterback? That's how you protect the quarterback, especially when you have one that makes such good, quick decisions as Tom Brady.
Now, it hurts that you could be, you know, you're without Aaron Hernandez. We don't know what Rob Gronkowski's status is going to be in terms of, you know, moving fluidly in and out of breaks, things of that nature. You're without Edelman, who in spread sets may
that's
be
the
out
one,
there.
That's the one silver lining. You're without Edelman, so you don't have to worry about Josh deciding that he's better than Welker this week.
But
I kid.
Are a little limited in your target. I mean, two of your top three targets are limited with Hernandez out and Gronkowski dealing with the hip injury. That's why I said to you, I think Shane Vereen will be active today because I think in some of those spread sets, maybe he can make some plays.
No Kellen Winslow either. It's a big blow.
No.
For this team this week.
Those four snaps.
Very frustrated. Very frustrated about his playing time.
I know it's not really a topic for this show, yeah. But really, to me, I find a fascinating scenario, the whole Kellen Winslow thing. I don't know. You know, I know some of the reports came out and said he was looking for more playing time. Like, I mean, 1 week after you got here, you didn't play enough, and I don't know. I just find that whole thing fascinating.
I thought he was a soldier. I would have thought he would have
been a mercenary.
I thought he would have stuck it out just a little bit more in that scenario, but I guess that wasn't the case.
Soldier.
You can get in touch with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. We're presented, of course, by Dunkin' Donuts. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get your today's America runs on Dunkin'.
I love Dunkin', but they made a strategic error with the Oreo being a limited time thing.
What you guys were talking about this before?
Now pumpkin. Now we've changed seasons.
That's
it's
a donut.
Time.
It's an Oreo donut. Is that what you're saying?
Did you miss out on the best donut that's ever been created?
I'm not a big donut guy, to be honest.
Adam, this is more than just a donut.
It's orgasmic.
From the fat guy in the room.
Orgasmic.
It's like a jelly donut, except instead of jelly, it's Oreo.
So I have to wait
inside.
Until when are for there, this experience, this orgasmic
allowed?
Experience?
Are there donuts allowed in the pool center? I didn't think there were.
Now that's
donuts
true.
You got to keep it clean.
Got to keep it cleanly over there. So I got to wait for how long for this orgasmic experience?
I mean,
next
I think
summer?
We need to start something on Twitter and the power of the people to bring back the Oreo donut.
So while you're using the hashtag #BringBackRook, you can also use the #BringBackOreoDonut.
I'd rather have the Oreo donut than Rook.
You can do that as well. While we're speaking with him all the way down there in the Polls Center, Matt LePan, what do you got going on?
So we're starting off with, when healthy, which position group is most talented? Patriots tight ends, Bills running backs, Bills defensive line, Patriots linebackers.
Patriots tight ends.
That's a good poll.
You like, got the stamp of approval from
like
the
a nice,
thank you, Paul.
Sage old veteran.
Well, you know, I heard somebody this morning. It's a good, actually, I'll credit him.
Sturdy looking poll.
Matt Chatham, former Patriot linebacker, I heard call the Bills running backs the best group in the league. And when you hear something like that, you immediately want to say, what are you, high? And you think about it a little bit. And he was quick to say, not the best running back
That's
individual
crazy.
As a group.
And, a collective group. Well, yeah, think about it this way.
He might be right.
Look, Freddie Jackson has played well the last couple of years when he's been in there. C.J. Spiller took over and arguably was better, certainly statistically was better. And then Tashard Choice came in last game and put up 91 total yards or 99 total yards, whatever it was. Yeah. It was like they didn't miss a beat. So I don't know how much of that is their offensive line, how much of that is the talent
it's
of
not
their
a
backs.
Great offensive line. But they do a good job, I think, of running out of passing formations and sort of creating space that way. I think they spread you out and create space. I think those guys are pretty good. I agree with Andy. I mean, I think the Patriots tight ends is the answer to the poll. I think you arguably have two of the best five players at that position in Gronk and Hernandez when they're healthy. So
they're at 91% right now for the fans.
Patriots tight ends are
Patriots leading. Tight ends are at 91%.
Fans right again.
Bills running backs are at 9%.
And that poll, your poll, by the way, got the seal of approval from Paul Perillo.
That's
earlier
the important
today,
thing.
Which is always
You've
nice.
Been validated.
Nothing like a good poll compliment
from now
to
on,
start off your day.
Flash, I'll keep my opinions to myself.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame them. Social.
You know what he was also saying? Because we've been doing polls for 2 years now, and I don't believe he's ever said that to you.
Mine sucked before
you today. You had 20-something weeks of crap-ass polls.
No, real. Unlike you, well,
two strong years.
I was going to make fun of you, but you usually do. You when Matt sends us the polls before the show, generally, we respond back. And
he didn't today, and he had a great one.
It's usually Paul saying, no, that's incorrect.
Yeah, flaccid, flaccid poll is usually
that's incorrect.
Flaccid poll. The poll center brought to you by Viagra. That'd be good.
Chance of precipitation today, by the way.
Yes.
Pretty good chance in Buffalo.
I don't care.
You should know. I know this comes as a shock, guys. And Andy will be able to vouch for me on this. But it's cloudy in Buffalo. Never seen that before.
All right, well, I'm thinking that weather won't be a part of this next thing. Let's get to Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, guys, what do you got?
Well, we kind of stole my key to the game a little bit early, but it's the interior of the defensive front versus the interior of the Patriots offensive front. You know, I think you can single-handedly or group-handedly put that Arizona loss on the failure of the front to meet the challenge of Calais Campbell and Darnell Dockett. I think they have a similar challenge today without one of their better guys in Logan Mankins. And I think the challenge may be expanded a little bit when you include the four-man front. Because Mario Williams, I know maybe people are thinking, oh, he's not living up to $100 million and blah, blah, blah. He's a pretty good player. And he's going up against Vollmer, who now all of a sudden is sort of your counted on lineman. He's healthy. He's playing every snap now. And on the other end, Mark Anderson. You know, so I think it's a challenge across the front there that they need to meet. And if they don't meet it, I think you lose potentially. But if they do meet it, I think you will find a lot of plays to be made. And I think part of how they're going to help them, as I said earlier, is spreading them out and not saying you need to block for 3, 4, 5 seconds. We're going to get the ball out. We're going to start moving the ball, get them winded, kind of the pace of the game, all that. Because Paul's right. They're big guys. And, you know, big fat guys get tired, and then it affects their performance. So I think the Patriots will scheme to help those guys, but you still have to win the battle.
Yeah, and Bill often, those big guys that can dominate inside, that's his way to beat those guys is to try to quicken the pace and get them tied, get them off the field. He's done that quite often in the past. Matter of fact, he's done it to Buffalo quite often in the past, back in the days when they had Pat Williams and Sam Adams. So I could definitely see Andy's scenario. That defensive line is good enough to dominate and win a game. I'm going to go on the other side of the ball for my key. However, I think that the Patriots front seven needs to show up today and completely take the running game out and put it all on Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not good enough to win if he has to throw the ball upwards of 35, 40, 45 times. He will not win. He will not avoid. If he has to throw the ball 40 times, he'll throw at least two, probably three interceptions.
How many dropped interceptions by McCoy?
Well, I can't account for that. But he's a guy, if you look at those numbers in those last couple of games that you're talking about, Adam, when they've won, the throws have been down around 25. 30. You know, that's what Buffalo wants to do. I mean, they spread you out and make it look like they're this wide open offense, but they don't throw it as often as they as it would appear. I think the Patriots need to eliminate Fred Jackson today. Now, that's a tall order. I think Fred Jackson, I don't know what his health status is. I don't know how healthy he is. He's a good player. But you can't devote more than you can't start putting eight guys in the box to eliminate the run. It's not that kind of a running game. If you do that, then you just check out and start throwing it. I think you need to do what they didn't do to Ray Rice. Baltimore never lost the ability to run Ray Rice last week. They need to make Buffalo lose the ability to run the ball and keep it balanced.
Going back to the offense for a second and looking at the skill positions, we sort of know who the receivers are going to be, right? With Edelman out, it should be Lloyd, Welker, Branch. We know who the tight ends are going to be. With Hernandez out, it's going to be Gronkowski, Omanawanui, and Fells. So I kind of go to the running backs, and we discussed this a little bit earlier, and active should be out within the next 20 minutes or so. When you look at the running backs, whether or not Vereen is healthy, how do you see that playing time sort of divvied up if the Patriots are going to be up-tempo similar to how they were last week when we saw so much Danny Woodhead?
Well, it's clear that they want to use Woodhead in those up-tempo formations. Andy and I talked about this a lot during the week on our show. I don't get it. I don't really understand why. I think that Bill likes the experience factor with Woodhead, and he feels more comfortable with those because there's more stuff that needs to be done on the fly mentally. A lot of times they're not huddling in those situations. A lot of times they're checking, you know, in and out of different plays.
Does that speak poorly to Ridley, or is that just more of a compliment to Woodhead?
It's a compliment to Woodhead, but every time they've used Ridley in those kinds of situations in his brief career, I don't see these glaring errors. Now, obviously,
yeah, the drop.
The coaches would see things that, you know, we're not privy to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the assignments. We don't know everything, but I think Ridley, on more than one occasion, has been very solid in blitz pickup this year. I don't think that's an area that Woodhead excels in. And I quite frankly just don't want to see Woodhead running the ball 15 times in a game. You know, he's more of a 7, 6, 7, 8 rushes per game. Change of pace. I want him to be a strict change of pace guy. But if they do what Andy says, and I agree with Andy's philosophy, it makes a lot of sense, I would expect to see Woodhead again, and I would expect to see them sort of split the carries again, and I don't like that.
Andy, I know we're talking at least off air and mentioned it briefly on. You think we could see some Vereen as well?
Yeah, I do. And I think if you're going to spread them out that much, you're going to try to divvy up the personnel groups in which you do it. Some of that, I think, will be Ridley. Some of that will not be obvious. Okay, here's Danny Woodhead. We're going to spread you out. This is what we're doing here. I think they will have Ridley on the field, and I think they'll have a chance for Vereen here because of some of the limitations to the other guys. You know, you might not have Gronkowski out there as often if he's dealing with something. I don't think any of the other tight ends are all that suited to it, so you may see little lighter sets where you have no tight ends on the field, where you have Lloyd and Branch and Welker, and then maybe a Vereen and maybe two backs, maybe, you know, different schematically there to spread people out. So I think there's a chance. Then, you know, I'll probably be proven wrong in 20 minutes when they say he's Green inactive. But
we saw,
I think there's a chance.
You mentioned two backs.
I think there's a chance, too, but I also have that in the back of my mind that we're going to talk about it for 20 minutes and
right.
Never mind.
You mentioned the two backs. We saw a ton of that in the preseason, right? I don't know how much we should read into that, but a lot of Ridley and Vereen on the field at the same time in the preseason.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that today. I mean, much as they want to spread them out, to me, these three guys actually have shown to me the ability to line up wide, the ability to catch the ball a little bit. Now, I know the ability to pass protect is a question for them, but if you're motioning them out, then that's not an issue in this game. If we're just saying flat out we're going to get rid of the ball quickly, pass protection's not the biggest issue here, then I think all three of those guys have shown the ability to be in that role in an up-tempo, whether it's a two-minute offense or whether it's just a flat-out spread offense. So I want to see them get more opportunities, all three of those guys, to make, you know, to divvy the load and see who's the playmaker.
Looking at some tweets, Andy, Vereen's out on the field warming up.
Oh, good.
He hasn't been yet this year in the pregame. So just
better
a
than being
note.
In the buffet line in the press box.
Better than not making the trip, as we've seen
nothing
for a number
gets
of Patriots
by you.
As well. Yeah, exactly. Let's hit these phone calls.
Now, does he have socks on? Does he have gloves on?
No report pants. On that yet. We'll wait a couple minutes.
Yeah, I hope he has
see,
pants.
See,
yeah.
see what color his socks are.
Hashtag
ring.
Hashtag game pants. Ace Ticket Hotline. By the way,
I don't know where that came from.
298-0398. Let's. Hit the phones. Go to our buddy Jeff in Vegas. We'll get things kicked off here on Patriots.com. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Don't screw it up this week. We need a lunch.
I hear you, Andy, and I'm not going to screw up the hi, how are you either, by the way. And One quick shout out to Pac-Man. As much as I love Dunkin' Donuts, I'm not a gigantic donut guy myself.
Yeah, excellent. More of a bagel man myself, yeah.
Yeah, just too much of a simple carbohydrate. You know, mm-hmm. They say it turns right to, you know, sugar once you eat it.
You know, God forbid it tastes good.
Anyhow, guys, that was a real good sign to see Brady wheeling and dealing last Sunday night at Baltimore. That's a great sign, and I have to side with Fred Kirsch. I don't think it's going to be that close today.
I agree, and I think part of what you said is accurate. Brady looked really good last week, I thought, in terms of dealing with the pressure, moving around, being decisive. And if he does that against this Bills defense and he gets, you know, any time to work with, I think he's going to put the ball in the air, make a lot of plays, put up some points.
Yeah, and especially a lot of these games against a little bit of a weaker team, although, you know, Buffalo's defense has improved, is at the end of the half, you know, in the last four minutes before the half, if New England can score, then against Buffalo, they usually, you know, try and go three and out, then they get the ball back with another 40 seconds, go punching it again. They can really, you know, pile up points that way, seemingly against the, you know, the Bills, at least they have in the past.
Well, they love that little swing, end of second quarter, beginning of third quarter. They love when that turns into, you know, 10 points swing there, field goal late maybe, and then a touchdown. So you're right. And I have a hard time seeing the Bills' defense shutting down this offense enough to win.
I think the offense
could put up points. And my fear would be you get in a shootout, and all of a sudden you have to win. You know, they had a 38-30 a couple of years ago, or all of a sudden you're up in that range. I just don't see the Bills' defense holding them in check.
I've read a lot of stuff about how the Bills are not only the front four, but the secondary is much improved, and they have some depth back there, which they almost never have. But I'm going to be like Andy. I want to see it before I say that they're capable of doing it. Because I don't know what the exact numbers say, but to my mind, in my mind's eye, I guess, this is the team that Tom destroys unlike any other. On a consistent basis, he just kills them.
Yeah, let's hope so. And that brings us to New England opened -4 on the point spread, dipped to -3.5, which was absurd, and back up to -4 now in most places. The total is 50.
So what do we think? Are we got our Jeff, well, our Jeff play of the week?
We're waiting.
That is correct. That just brought us to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money play of the week, which is bet the house on New England. Give the 3.5, take New England. As far as the total, I'm hoping that a little bit of a spotty offensive line and Buffalo improved defense and New England's new defense being able to limit the Bills, even Fred Taylor, as good as he is, especially if mostly healthy. I'm gonna roll the dice, take the under 50, but bet the house on the New England destroying them well over. They'll easily handle the 3.5. Lock it in.
I agree. I'll pencil you in for Thursday's lunch because you're going to be swimming in it.
Lock it in.
See you, Jeff.
I'm with
Jeff.
He's Fred Jackson, by the way, not Fred Taylor.
We all misspeak at times.
The fact that thing went down early in the week tells you people were on Buffalo. I don't know. I find that interesting just in terms of, you know, the smart money, quote unquote, and people being in on the Bills early in the week. It's come back up on New England. But I don't know. I find that surprising that, I guess nationally, people would be down a little bit on New England going up to Buffalo.
Two-game losing streak, and I don't know.
We all like
injuries.
We all like the Patriots, the 4 points, but how the total, 50. What do you guys feel about that?
I'm on the under, 35-10.
I like the over.
I think I like the over as well. I don't have a strong feeling about that one. I know that's it's not ideal, but I would go over on that. Let's take another phone call here, 508-298-0398. Melvin's in Tennessee. You're next up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hey, Mel.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing great, Melvin. How are you?
Great, pretty good. Well, as far as a concern about this game goes, the only thing I guess that would get me nervous, I feel like that was last year. I know Stevie Johnson looked like he almost owned his defense, I think, both games. I think McCourty had a hard time with him, and I think it would be important for him just to try to get a good bounce back game. I know he missed a couple of opportunities, of course, last game. With those interceptions, so I think that'd be one of my most important matchups that I'm going to be paying attention to today. And I think today, after if we get a good win today, I still think the Buffalo away was probably one of the, if not the hardest division game that we have. So I feel pretty good if we can go in there and get a good win today, especially to make a statement to the rest of the division that, you know, that we're still on top right here. So that's the only thing I just had to say. I just hope that we can control Stevie Johnson. I know he's been hot, And I guess might just say, I don't want to see a shootout, like a 30-point shootout with Stevie Johnson having two touchdowns and just owning DBs again. You know, it'll just continue to make us, I guess, still think our defensive backfield is in trouble or still, you know, pretty bad coming out those two good games in the beginning. But that's the only thing I had to say about it.
I agree, because I don't think they have a lot of depth in terms of pass catchers. I'm not a big fan of their receivers.
I'm not a Nelson's huge fan of Stevie Johnson.
Well, I'm not either, because to me he drops important throws.
Exactly,
but
how I feel.
The corner he's going against does too, so it's probably a fair matchup. But I just think their passing game is limited in terms of options. You know, they lost Nelson. You know, Chandler, I know he had that big start a couple years ago where he had all those touchdowns. He doesn't really put a lot of fear in me. I think they're limited, and if you can shut down Stevie Johnson through the air and force them to beat you elsewhere, I think that goes a nice step towards getting the job.
Now, Donald Jones had a big day in the win that Buffalo had last year, so he's still there. Brad Smith is a guy they looks like they insist on trying to use him as a quarterback and in Wildcat stuff instead of trying to find ways to get the ball in his hands, so he doesn't really do anything. Ruvell Martin's been hurt. He's out. So, Andy's right. They don't have a lot of
depth. TJ Graham has been their other receiver, right?
Yeah,
the rookie?
And he's a rookie. He's done some things for them, so it would be interesting to see if he's able to contribute. But I'm not a huge – Stevie Johnson, to me, is a good receiver. He is not one of these guys that you need to fear.
Make plays.
And on a team that you have, as Andy pointed out, very few options, I would think that you could sort of circle him and limit him. But, you know, we'll see.
I would think, too, but – we have one to point to in the Larry Fitzgerald game where we gave them props for doing what they seemingly couldn't do last year, and that's take away a target, you know, a pass. Pretty much last year, everybody toasted them, you know, your number one receiver right. against McCourty, pencil in 110 yards and seven catches. They didn't do that against Larry Fitzgerald. This would be another nice step in that direction, coming off a pretty bad performance by the secondary where I thought they let Joe Flacco do pretty much what he wanted to do in terms of throwing the balls to spots, getting the ball down the field. So and confidence-wise for McCourty, you know, just in terms of kind of maybe building on, it was a decent first 2 weeks, step back, can I take a step forward now on the road when my team needs me?
All right, we'll continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398. We'll get to your emails as well, webradio@patriots.com. And we go behind enemy lines and get the view from Buffalo next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get back to your phone calls, your emails, and whatnot. But first, let's go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
To do that, we welcome in Chris Brown of Bills Digest, joining us here on Patriots.com. Chris, we've seen the Patriots come into this game at 1-2. Bills come in at 2-1. Buffalo, of course, beat New England last year at home. How do you see this thing shaking out today?
I think for the first time, the Bills personnel-wise match up as best as they have in years against the Patriots, and I'm just kind of hoping that that makes for an entertaining game today. I think it could very well come down to who has the ball last in this one.
Chris, I know, obviously the Bills are ahead of the Patriots right now in the division, but it seemed like they spent a lot of the offseason talking about the Patriots and measuring up, and we should be in the same sentence, and we don't fear them. How accurate is that they have sort of circled this game and these meetings with the Patriots as a measuring stick for where they're going?
Well, I think it is a measuring stick game for them. I don't think they feel that it's going to be a game that defines their season. Evidence of that is last year's Week 3 game. I mean, they win that game, they start off 5-2, they finish 6-10. So I think they use it certainly as a measuring stick because they know the Patriots are the division champions, the AFC champions, and they know they have to go through them to get where they want to go. That simple.
Chris, tell me why this defense for Buffalo is better and can handle Tom Brady and the many weapons the Patriots have.
They actually have people that can rush the passer. I mean, Mario Williams and, Mark Anderson, you guys know very well, certainly give them a presence off the edge. And then you have Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius in the middle there, two guys that led this team in sacks each of the last 2 years because they had nobody on the edge. Now they do, and it's a front four that can consistently get pressure, and they're hoping that they can do that today so they can drop 7 into coverage.
Obviously, they're not planning on completely shutting down the Patriots because really no one does that. It's difficult to do. So that means the offense is going to have to score some points. In terms of the playmakers, obviously there's some health questions in the backfield. And do they have the depth required in the passing game behind Stevie Johnson to maybe, get in a little bit of a shootout with Tom Brady?
Well, I think that's the question mark. And losing David Nelson for the year obviously hurts them. He had chemistry with Fitz as their primary slot guy. Guy that would get 7, 9, 12-yard receptions, keep the sticks moving. Donald Jones is in that role now for them and started to get the feel for that position last week against the Browns. Scott Chandler is probably the next most threatening player in their passing game, but they'll use Fred and CJ out as receivers as well, and that's been a problem for opposing defenses. I mean, CJ Spiller caught a 10-yard pass, turned it into a 32-yard touchdown. So there are guys that they've used, but it's been more their backs in the receiving core than anything else.
What are we going to see from those backs today? I know both Jackson and Spiller are dealing with injuries. Looks like Jackson's going to go. Don't know yet about Spiller.
Yeah, CJ's a true game-time decision. We'll have to see what goes on there. I think if he does play, he's going to be used as a receiving option more than anything else.
Is he good enough? Is he enough of a playmaker where they say, even if we can only get him in 6, 8 snaps, 10 snaps, whatever it may be, he's a guy that can break plays and have an impact on a game in limited snaps.
Well, I mean, it really depends how they use DJ. And again, I'm just guessing, you know, but I think Tashard Choice is a guy they feel confident in turning to if they need to. So, you know, I think it's a situation where they believe in an offensive line that they have. So no matter who's going to be back there running the football, I think they honestly feel they can be productive. I think personally, this is the best offensive line the Patriots have faced thus far this season. So I think they really are going to trust those guys up front that they can open up holes and make for a consistent running game no matter who they have rushing the football. And Tashard Choice is no slouch. I mean, in college, the guy led the ACC in rushing 2 straight years.
Talking about that offensive line, one of the changes is Cordy Glenn, the rookie at left tackle. He'll be matched up with another, looks like, impressive rookie in Chandler Jones. What have you seen from Glenn early in the season, and how do you maybe see that matchup playing out?
I think Glenn's been pretty solid. You know, he's only given up 3 hurries / pressures in the first 3 games, so he's done very well to kind of blend in with the rest of that group. Even if he doesn't have perfect technique and pass protection, he's 6'6", 345 pounds. It takes you 3 seconds just to run around him. So, you know, I think he's been a very effective left tackle, and I think he's far more athletic than any of us anticipated. I mean, against the Chiefs here in Week 2, he's 30 yards down the field blocking for C.J. Spiller on a screen play. I mean, he's a rare athlete for a man his size, and he's really fit in well there at the left tackle spot.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for taking the time here. We know you're a busy guy. You got to run.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
Chris Brown of Bill's Digest joining
Stop
us here
Rihanna.
On the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Sticking with my man, Cordy Glenn there. What do you
Big
think
man.
Of that? What do you think of that matchup with Chandler Jones?
Well, you know, Cordy Glenn's a
he
left
broke
tackle.
It down. He broke it down for Indy.
And he is trying to keep the pass rush from getting to the quarterback. And you have a right defensive end in Chandler Jones who's trying to get to the quarterback. So I sort of see that as the matchup.
Interesting.
Chandler Jones gave Andy and I an exclusive scouting report this week as we were walking out of the locker room on Friday. And basically Andy just
that was basically
it,
what it was?
Put it
yeah.
in a nutshell.
So it's not quite
the
it's
game
not quite
plan
Danny
is,
Woodhead. I'm working on it, and I'm just trying to get better. It's not quite that, but it was rivaling
no, it.
Cordy
it was
Glenn
close.
Is the left tackle, and he's trying to keep me, the right defensive end, out of the backfield.
And then he referred you to The Blind Side, the book. He was just like, yeah, if you have any other questions, why don't you just check out that Michael Lewis book.
But I do think it's interesting that Chris Brown emphasized his athleticism, because you look at a massive guy like that, and I don't think you necessarily assume he's going to be able to match athleticism with a guy like Chandler Jones, and he may not. We'll find out this week. I'll be interested to see how that matchup unfolds. You'd like to think Jones, at his size and his athleticism, his length, can keep him off him and use that speed to get around him, and I think they need that. You know, I don't think that the pass rush was very good last week. I don't think it was very impactful on that game. Now, I'm not blaming everything on the pass rush because I talked about this with Paul. I think Joe Flacco was just dropping back, throwing to a spot. I think it would have been tough to get there on some of those plays. But they need to be better. They need to get into Ryan Fitzpatrick's head, get him off his spot, as people like to say, force him into maybe some bad mistakes. As Paul said, he's want to do that, and you know the Patriots defense wants him to do that. So I think the pass rush, and if that might be some more Jermaine Cunningham, or we saw some different looks late in the game, I think they need to get some pressure. But that starts with Chandler Jones, because I've already dubbed him. I mean, he's sort of you count on Wilfork and Mayo to stop the run. Well, 3+ games in, I'm counting on Chandler Jones every week to be a part of the pass rush.
Andy and I sort of debated this late last week. I actually think they need to turn up some more pressure and find ways to dial up some blitzes.
Paul wants to see that secondary really get toasted.
Well, I mean, see, to me, it can't get worse. So sitting back, to me, sitting back.
Careful what you wish for.
Sitting back hasn't worked for the better part of 3 years. And I know that Bill has never been a huge blitz guy.
God forbid they sit back and go to the Super Bowl again.
Oh, here we go. The arguments that even Andy doesn't believe. The guy who told me it was the worst defense in the history of the sport last year.
No. The worst defense I'd ever seen, and they went to Super Bowl.
So maybe if they blitzed a little more, they would have won the Super Bowl.
Keyshawn would have been there.
The one that said the worst defense in the history of the league.
Well, that's when they were
Andy
going.
Said
these guys, CC and I could roll out the parking lot in dress shoes and host these guys.
I do get Andy and Keyshawn confused as well. 508-298-0398, ticket hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Mark from Cheddar wrote in. Not today. He wrote in last night before 7:00, which I give him some props for. You can get your emails in early to this program. I like that.
That's part of being a global entity in what we are. And you know, the internet. And
my
just,
only point, you can send. You don't have to send in your emails during the show. You can send
right.
them in early. And Mark writes
Didn't they
in.
Used to do that for your ESPN Boston show? They would email at all hours of the
we
night.
Would whatever time the email came in, we would just we would regurgitate it. We'd get emails on Monday and save them till Friday for that program. Mark writes in, hey, Pac-Man, Paul, and Andy, an over-under game for the three of you. And anyone else who'd like to play, so feel free to jump in.
Matt's way
over in
the poll
over
center,
in
so
the poll center. If you're
here.
Listening, Matt LePan. Firstly, stats so far extrapolated rather to a full season. Brady touchdowns 21.33.
I'm going to take the over.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over on that as well. Team defensive sacks 21.33.
Over.
Over.
Over seems right. team defense. Excuse me. Welker receiving yards 1,338 and 2/3.
Under.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well. This has been a boring game thus far. Ridley rushing yards, 1,242.
Under.
Under.
Yeah, under. Yeah. Gronkowski touchdowns, 10.67.
Over.
Over.
So I'm going under on that one. All right, good.
Because you're negative.
Team turnover ratio. We've had all
the Cardinals.
We've had all the same predictions thus far.
Anything team, about Patriots pregame social over there?
Team turnover ratio, 21.33 plus. 21.33.
Under.
Obvious under. All right, and for this week against
he's
the Bills.
He's so condescending. He's Alex Trebek.
And for this week against the Bills.
No, you idiot.
Lloyd receiving yards, 102.5.
Under.
Under.
I'm going to go over on that one.
He's going to have to get a lot of catches for his 9-yard average. Or
well,
what, the hell it is.
What did he have last week? He was over 100 last week.
Yeah, they had 200-yard receivers.
Yes, that's correct.
So, I don't know.
He had 111 catches to
I see
get
continuing.
Over 100 yards, man.
Woodhead yards per carry, 2.1.
Oh, hurry up. I got to get to the inactives.
Spiller is active, by the way.
Gotcha. All right, well, we'll breeze through these. Woodhead yards per carry, 2. I'm going to go over that.
What happens when I click on the
line? I'll go over that.
Hightower sacks and McCourty interceptions are each 0.5.
Hightower sacks.
Under.
Under. McCourty interceptions. I'll say over. He's going to hold on to one this
week. I was
going to
say, that's interceptions, not dropped interceptions. 0.5. I'm going to go over on that as well. I think McCourty comes back and has a pick this week. Do you guys want to get to the inactives? Our
yes,
seventh
Andy
inactive
needs
here?
To get into that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't. It says loading image, loading oh. image, loading image, loading image, loading
image.
There is no image.
Interesting. So we don't have it, but we do know that Fred Jackson and CJ Spiller
Matt
both
Tenet.
Active for the Bills. And Matt Tenet is your seventh inactive?
Correct.
Okay.
Woohoo!
Which
Shane Vereen, baby!
I was going to say, which
Edelman,
means?
Hernandez, Dederick, Dennard, Francis, Mankins, Tenet.
Right.
Everybody was like jumping to this conclusion that he was going to play. I didn't understand that. Like, why?
Well, and I mean, I know I heard Paul say this to 98.5 earlier today. He's just, if no one else wanted him, and I'm not trying to, you know, steal the thunder here, but if no one else wanted him and he was just sitting out there on the street,
right.
You know, why all of a sudden is he just going to be the starting center? And the Patriots had the same view.
I would have been shocked to see him start. Now,
plus,
to me, it was all about whether or not Nick McDonald was healthy enough to play. He's been on the injury report throughout the summer and into the early part of the season.
But he was only inactive one week,
right?
He was
active. Was he active twice?
I think he was only inactive week one.
So to me, that was the only question is whether or not you felt comfortable with him physically.
But even more than
that,
Matt Tenet never played here, and you're going to sign him on a Saturday and start him on a Sunday when you have Nick McDonald? If so, then why are Donald Thomas and Nick McDonald on the team if you have no confidence in them? They shouldn't be on the team. If I know, you know, everybody's, oh, Thomas stunk when he played against the Cardinals, but then get him off your team. If he's not good enough to play, then get him off your team.
And if Tenet was good enough to play,
get him on your team.
That's the switch.
Then you're not
right.
cutting
you
him.
Know,
then
yeah,
you're not cutting
let's
him
cut
for
Thomas
Lex,
and keep Tenet.
And right. have him here to actually practice all week and get ready for a game, not, oh, we're going to run. You're so great, we're going to run you out there on Sunday.
You know, quickly, while we're on the offensive line, without Tenet being active, who's going to be the left guard? Is it going to be Conley? Is it going to be Thomas?
I would say Thomas. I don't know why you would try to flip-flop a bunch of things. I think whoever starts should start at left guard.
I'm going to say Thomas, too. I agree with Andy.
And the logic being, what, you can pair him next to Solder, or you just, as Andy said, you don't want to juggle things
well,
up
I don't. I don't want to, as you know, change four positions or anything. If I can just, I mean, again, he's your backup guard.
And in addition to all of that, Darius is the guy on your right side.
So you want Conley matched
up. I think he's more
of
a load, and I'd rather have Conley, the better player over there.
All right, we'll continue.
Yeah, I'm not feeling confident about that matchup with either of the guys. I'm going to be honest with you.
We'll continue.
I'm not feeling confident about either guard versus tackle.
We don't feel real confident about any of the matchups in the game,
but
Patriots have won a million games over the last decade, we're predicting blowouts.
So,
wait,
that's sort of how I feel about this game.
Other
in all
than
honesty.
The interior line, what matchup am I fearful of?
Jesus. This is the first time on the show?
It's proving that
we speak in absolutes here.
Well, I'm just saying, I got two matchups I don't like on the inside, and I just said they're going to drop back three steps, throw the ball, and those fat loads are never going to get off the line.
But then after
they're going to bat a few in the air.
If they lose, Andy can say, "Well, I told you about that matchup in the middle of the field. That's right. I like
no
I like
one.
I like I
does
like,
that like Paul and Andy after the fact. I like the way I said it was going to go.
I
if
like
that
the positioning.
Happens,
let's get back to the emails in a moment. Webradio at Patriots.com. Send some of these phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Christian says he's on the Gillette Stadium field. What's going on, Christian?
Hey, look in the south end zone. I'm the fat kid in the blue poncho.
Hey, numbnut, we're in
we're
a
in radio
block
studio,
room.
Idiot.
No, I see him. Hey, what's going
hey,
on?
Hey, how are you?
He's
good
down
luck.
There by the pole
oh,
center.
You put on
no,
a
yeah,
few,
yeah.
huh? Oh, you put on. Could have shaved this morning, you fat bastard.
it's a tough spot today for the team, guys, especially with the offensive line. I'm looking for a big game today for my defensive line to get after Fitzpatrick, so that's the key, I think, to the game. I mean, I know that we can score on them, but you got to keep that Buffalo offense down, and defense got to come up for a big game today.
Who in particular? Give me a name. One name.
Well, I got to tell you, the way that he played last week, I really like to see some pressure from Ninkovich.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Jones. Ninkovich was brother-in-law with the right tackle last week, and Chandler Jones, I don't care what Greg Bedard writes, he's pretty quiet, more pressures, whatever, but I got to see more from those guys on the edge.
Just so you know, we don't call it brother-in-law anymore. We call it Derek Burgessing.
that is correct.
That's more accurate.
But you're right. I was really disappointed in Ninkovich last week. I thought he was not very effective. And, you know, I listened to Matt Chatham a little bit coming in talking about, you know, they were using him to reroute a little bit more and that can wear on a guy. I just don't see Ninkovich as an impact guy as a defensive end. I'm not sure he has the skills, the strength, the speed, anything. I think he's a nice player.
What's the solution? He is a rotational guy or he goes back to linebacker?
No, I'm fine with my three linebackers. You know, I think he's a rotational guy where you try to, you know, pick your spots where he's best suited, maybe get Cunningham in there a little more. Maybe, you know, we saw late that Trevor Scott got in there. I don't want to line up with 65 snaps of Rob Ninkovich, and so far I've seen that it doesn't really benefit your defense.
Two things on that. Number one, I think this is why a lot of people wanted to see Andre Carter come back, and he signed this week with Oakland, so that's not going to happen, at least not now.
We could trade for him.
That's why I said at least not now. The other thing is, and Andy sort of touched on it at the end there, the 65 snaps for Ninkovich. I thought that we had some play like this last year around the middle of the year from Ninkovich where it looked like, you know, it was diminishing returns. And then they sort of lessened his load a little bit. And his play time went down. He was still a starter and a regular in the rotation, but I thought he came off the field a little bit. And I wonder if maybe you can do what Andy says and get Cunningham out there a little bit more often. And not only maybe you get something out of Cunningham, but you might get better play out of Ninkovich when he's in there. I think maybe you sort of lighten the load a little bit for him.
One more question before we hit the phones. What did you think of Chandler Jones last week? Because I thought he was the one guy who at times got a little tiny bit of pressure
couple times.
On Joe Flacco,
not
but
consistent.
There really wasn't much there.
Yeah, I thought Orr owned him.
Yeah, I think he had like a two-play stretch where he was active, but just not nearly enough for what you're looking for.
That series, it was 30 to 21 or something like that, whatever it was there. Yeah, 30 to 21.
It was like the second
to
last segment for the or the segment.
The Kyle Love sack
yeah.
was all Chandler Jones. It was a nice move by Love, but Chandler Jones created that sack. And then that got wiped out with a penalty. Then the next play, Chandler Jones had an immediate pressure. Flacco sort of rolled a little bit to his right and hit Torrey Smith for the touchdown. Aside from that, I don't really recall seeing 95 in the backfield very often.
All right, Nick's in San Diego. You're next up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hey, Nick.
Glad you're clean
hey guys,
now.
How you doing?
Thanks for showering.
Clean. Oh, yeah, no problem.
Right, we got the message from Kevin Collins. You were going to shower and
gave
call
you a
back.
Little time because we thought you smelled.
Well, what happened was, first thing that happened when I woke up, I had a nightmare last night that we lost the Buffalo Bills. First thing I did when I woke up was I gave you guys a call for a little bit of reassurance. So I'm just, it's kind of like a two-part question here. Do the Buffalo Bills have enough of a pass rush to make Tom Brady run around like a little girl? And two, do the Buffalo Bills have the offensive weapons to tear apart our secondary? Give me a little bit of reassurance, boys.
Yes and no. They certainly have the pass rush when it's at its best.
It was Brady, little girl, and weapons were the two questions,
yes.
right?
Okay. And if they're at their best, Williams and Anderson can both be impact guys off the edge. And I think the push you can get up the middle, you know, Kyle Williams has, what, Paul, 3.5 sacks already to start the year, I think. They have the ability to get after it, but that's assuming you allow them to. They get the coverage. Brady's standing back there for a couple seconds. I don't think the Patriots are going to allow that to become a factor in this game. On the other side, I don't think they have the weapons to do enough against this secondary. Everybody can complete passes against this secondary. We know that. But do enough means keep up with Tom Brady. Put up, if you score 30, can you score 31 if he puts, like Flacco did? I don't see the Bills having that type of attack.
See, I do. I don't think that they're negative. I don't think they're one of the – because I think Buffalo has a good offense. That's negative?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm negative. Sorry, Nick.
So, look, I think –
I don't think Nick's there anymore.
Well, no.
Is he showering?
I let him be.
Is he now using the loofah?
Maybe he's moving on to a bath. Maybe
we cut off callers.
The Axe body
wash. Don't bring on guests when they're already talking.
I'm trying to figure out how to work this equipment. But speaking of someone,
were you brought in to be the experienced, proven professional host?
Speaking of someone who works his equipment, let's go down to the poll center with Matt LePan.
Go ahead.
All right. Going back to the first poll, Patriots tight ends absolutely dominated, 86%. Patriots linebackers got a little bit of love with 7%, along with the Bills running backs. Nobody thought the Bills defensive line was any good. Next one is, which injury will affect today's game the most? Rob Gronkowski's hip, C.J. Spiller's shoulder, Logan Mankins' hip, Fred Jackson's knee, or Julian Edelman's hand? So far, Logan Mankins at 87% is dominating, and Gronkowski is at 7%.
I'm going C.J. Spiller.
Josh McDaniels chimes in with Julian Edelman's hand.
I'm going C.J. Spiller. And I think he's probably going to have a limited role, so you'll never be able to say that I was wrong, because the Patriots are going to roll, and I'm going to tell you that had Spiller played, he would have had like 580-yard touchdowns, and the Bills would have been competitive.
Now, Andy, do you have a better appreciation for me as a host of this show?
No.
Why is that?
Because you were worse than him.
Exactly.
But that's fact.
Sucky.
Unlike your little NFL officiating
there you
thing.
Go. Thank you very much. No further questions.
We'll take your phone calls, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also, your emails go to webradio@patriots.com.
I forgot to bring up the guest on the Ace Ticket Hotline, just so you know.
let's hear from our fan club.
You gotta fight! Bing!
Got a good tailgate?
Oh man, they're playing One Hell of a Party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
All right, Nara, Patriots fan club member this week is Dean. And by the way, want to mention this. If you're tailgating and getting ready for the game, you can send your emails to webradio@patriots.com or tweet in your photos from your tailgate using the hashtag PPGS. Dean is the Patriots fan club from Rochester, New York, rather. And, Dean, what's the scene up there for this game?
How you doing? Well, we're actually not doing an official tailgate this year at the game. Usually we do because it's right up the street. It's only about an hour and a half away from here. But so we're going to be watching the game at our local watering hole. And some of our guys will be up there. But we just dropped the ball and buying a block. Bills fans actually sold out the game before we had a chance. We weren't expecting that. So I'm actually going to be at the bar watching the game. The first 2 weeks we had 55 or plus Patriot fans at our bar watching the game. So we've got a lot of local New England transplants that watch the game together. We've been together since 1994. And normally we would be at this game for the Bills game. Next year we'll be up there doing a big tailgate and inviting guys from New England to come join us and what have you. Last year, we actually got bailed out by a Bills fan who lent us his grill because we had ours die. So that was kind of cool. That was
preparation seems to be lacking a bit there, Dean.
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance, my friend.
I know. That's for sure.
Feel free to pub wherever you are, just in case there's anybody listening might want to run on down. What
Andy
watering
and I got
hole.
To spend a little time in Rochester.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Rochester. That hall, what was it, Christmas night?
Yeah.
We were in Rochester?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember James Sanders tweeted that it was terrible?
The worst dinner ever.
There's a pizzeria up the street that sent over a million pizza and wings over to the Patriots.
That was good.
New York pizzeria. I live two doors down from the joint. But we're at a place called Moe's Mulberry Street, right up to 390 and Lyle Avenue. It's on Lee Road, and you can Google Patriots Fan Club of Rochester. We've got a map to the place, or we're on Facebook, and there's a map to the place on Facebook too. But Yeah, it's a great time. We got we got a Patriots flag up, a bunch of Patriots stuff, and the owners are awesome. They're like second family to me, and they let me control the TVs and work the sound, so I crank it up, and we have a good time.
Dean comes in, he's got pitcher and pitcher going. He's moving stuff around.
So I'm assuming Moe's has good wings.
They have very good wings. Very good wings and good burgers. It's kind of like somewhere in between kind of a little dive place and a really nice place. They let when they bought the place, they let me pick out the TV. So, of course, we got great TVs. And
wait,
nice
why
place,
do you have so much power at Moe's?
Who are you?
I feel like Andy Hart's going to demand that you get Oreo donuts on the menu there.
And what the hell's going
come
on?
Come up and know, visit right? If you have so much sway.
This sounds a little shady.
Yeah, right. Well, I definitely piss off all the Bills fans and the fans of other teams that get annoyed by us Patriot fans. But, oh, well. They're like I said, the owners are kind of like my family, so they've kind of given me. I talked them into it, and luckily the Patriot fan club have showed up this year. The bar we were originally at closed on us, so we went to another bar, and that place closed. So
kind of
bummed us out. But this place has been great for a couple of years now.
So what is the you obviously live there, and you're kind of immersed in that Bills Mafia, as I think they call themselves on Twitter. You know, what's the mentality of this team? Do they believe that they are now competing for a division title? I mean, obviously, through 3 weeks, they're ahead of the Patriots, tied for atop the division. What's the sense you get from Bills fans up there?
Yeah, it's funny because when you talk to Bills fans up here, there's two kinds of Bills fans. There's the older guys that remember the four Super Bowl losses and will forever be defeated by that. And they'll never believe, you know.
Right.
But then there's the younger Bills fans, and they tend to be very, like, they're very like manic depressant. You know, when they're winning, everything is awesome, and they sound like they're going to the Super Bowl. And when they lose, they're horrible. They should fire everybody. And when you listen to local talk radio, sports talk shows, it's a total different show from week to week when they win and lose. And it's kind of funny. But the older guys you talk to, they're just like, nah, they still suck. So, but it's fun. The thing is, the Patriots need to win today because, of course, you know, everybody I work with are Bills fans and you know, Bills fans everywhere. And so I'm going to owe, like, 20 lunches. I'm going to have to bring everybody to Moe's and make them watch the Patriots and feed them all there or something. But, yeah, so I need the Patriots to win today. It stinks when your home team beats your favorite team, you know.
I can imagine. So. All right, Dean, well, enjoy the game at Moe's today. Be sure to send some photos in. Either email them to webradiopatriots.com or send them via Twitter, hashtag PPGS, to help us out. And we like to accentuate the hottest woman that is in your club. So if you have any hotties, put her in the front of the photo.
Will do. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Go Patriots. Not your mom.
So yet another
thanks, Dean.
Yet another Patriots fan club.
Dean's just wheeling and dealing.
From Rochester.
For some reason, he gets to do everything.
I was going to say, does he own the place?
I wanted to
no,
order.
No, he shuts down places.
I wanted to order, like, get an
what
order
a deal
of, like,
that guy has.
You know, Dean's wings sent to us, because you know there's something named after him on the menu.
I'm telling you, but don't tell Andy that you have any sway with the menu at any place, because all of a sudden he's going to be making suggestions and calling the shots on that menu up there. I'm telling you.
I do have a lot of ideas in the restaurant world.
It's like a week
or two.
It's
kind of a big deal.
Like a week or two until we get to that Oreo donut. Anyway, you can give us a call, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live here on patriots.com. And listen up now. We have a giveaway here on patriots.com. To push your workout limit, you can need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, a comfortably secure fit, and an exclusive Reebok Fitness armband. You demand more from your workout. Shouldn't you demand more from your headphones, too? Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And the eighth caller to the contest line, not our regular phone line, the contest line, 508-298-0392, wins a free pair of SIE2 Sport headphones. Give us a call, 508-298-0392, and the eighth caller will win a pair of those headphones. I know you guys have a pair of those as well.
Yes, I brought them home to my wife, who's been looking for headphones, and she loves them already. She has a tough fit. She likes the little, they fit in your ear, but she has a problem with them falling out, and these have the little rubber thing that's adjustable, and you can put the right...
All different sizes, too.
Them.
It's pretty cool, and the armband works out well, too. You know, for those of you that like to run, you know, I would imagine
Paul used
this,
it to.
I would imagine this would be a good thing for you.
He was
guys.
Able to listen.
I was able
while
to continue.
Eating.
Yeah, I was able to continue to eat my Dean's wings
while he's attacking those wings.
The
they didn't
the
fall
kitchen.
Out of his ears. It was
no,
great.
No, nice. I did.
Go to the fridge,
I did try them.
Beer.
I did get a pair last week, and I did try them out, and I'm looking forward to cutting the grass for the first time with my new Bose headphones.
Plus, so they're Bose.
They were really, I mean, really good.
Bose is the best. I use a different type of Bose for all my transcribing and all the stuff, and. You can't go wrong with Bose.
All right, so eighth caller will win a free pair
yeah,
of those headphones.
Yeah, Bose!
Give us a call, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We hear from you next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo!
Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second and final hour of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll back at, or get back to your phone calls here in a minute, your emails as well. Adam Schefter, however, of ESPN, reporting that the Bills are going to split evenly the workload between C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. We knew they're both active. What's the impact there for the Patriots with those two getting a roughly 50-50 split?
Well, I think it's huge for the Bills that C.J. Spiller's active. I mean, you get a guy that's averaging 10 yards a carry through the first 3 weeks of the season. He's been an impact playmaker for them. It will be interesting to see with a shoulder injury if he can be active in the passing game as he normally is.
Which Chris Brown said he thought that's how they'd use him more in the
right,
passing game.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see how injured he is and how if that affects him at all. But, I mean, you're starting to see C.J. Spiller this year and even a little bit last year when he was filling in for Jackson be the guy he was at Clemson. I mean, at Clemson, you were talking about one of the greatest playmakers in the history of college football. I forgot the exact number, Paul, but he had like 25, 50-yard touchdowns. I mean, the guy just flat-out flew, made plays all over the field, running game, passing game. And now, and that's why he was the ninth pick in the draft. And it took a little while in the NFL. I think that first year he averaged like 3.8 a carry. Now he's starting to catch on in terms of what he can be. I think that's a major challenge. Patriots defense tackling issues last week. You know, you guys going low, hurdles over, another guy misses a tackle. Those are the kind of things that C.J. Spiller can do. And I think that's what the Bills need on offense because I don't think they can just line up and compete, you know, a bunch of 80-yard drives. I think they're going to need some big plays on offense. And to me, Spiller is one of the ultimate big play guys.
And with Spiller in the passing game, and I understand Andy's point about the shoulder, but my guess is that they'll probably do what they've done a little bit in the early going, some screens and things like that, that won't require him to get the arms above the head, to get downfield and make receptions. He should be able to just kind of cradle the ball in, and now it's his running ability in the open field. My guess is that there's probably one hit that he could take that will end his day because, you know, a shoulder problem that's that serious. I can't imagine he's going to get hit on that shoulder too often and be able to continue playing, but it's about what you would expect. You have two guys coming off injuries. They kind of a 50-50 split anyway, and now they're both at less than 100%. This is the I agree with Andy. It's the best-case scenario for Buffalo to have both of these guys active.
And they were both productive against the Patriots last year. Freddie Jackson in the win, 87 yards receiving, also 74 yards on the ground, and a touchdown for him as well. And then week 17 for Spiller when he was playing once Jackson was hurt, 100 total yards, 40 of them are receiving. So you could see, you know, not were they both productive against the Patriots last season, they were also productive in the passing game as well. Let's hit some of these emails. Webradio@patriots.com. It's where Kenny writes in from Virginia. Guys, I had a question about the Patriots' possible game plan approach on offense today. Do you see them trying to stick to the run, having a full force passing attack, or balancing it out?
Well, balancing it out, I don't think they're going to totally eliminate running the football, but I think you're going to see more running the football out of spread sets. And I, as I said, I think that the way you start the game, in my opinion, is try to create tempo. I don't know if it's no huddle or just a fast tempo and spread them out and try to throw the football because, you know, Paul was talking about matchups. I think the one matchup you lose is the defensive front versus your offensive line right now, and I think you want to eliminate that schematically. Sure, maybe those guys can compete. Maybe, you know, Donald Thomas is better this week and he surprises everyone, has a great game. But I'd rather find that out in the second quarter when I already have a 13-14 nothing lead, and then I can kind of let the game unfold from there. I think spreading them out, you know, old school Patriots style, that's what they used to do 2, 3, 4 years ago, was just spread them out in these matchups, get a lead, and go from there. And I think you could see that again.
Yeah, and for that offensive line, reason is why I don't really want to run the ball a tremendous amount. I don't want to abandon the run totally, but I'm not necessarily a huge fan of balance for balance sake. If it's working, fine. You know, you can stick with it. But I would rather. I don't see this offensive line opening up a consistently a whole bunch of holes for running backs. I'm not saying they're going to get completely shut down on the ground, but I think Andy's right. I think the way to go about this game today is to spread out and see if Buffalo has the depth to handle, you know, Gronkowski and Welker and Lloyd and Branch, and see how they handle all that, and then you mix in. Ridley and Woodhead and hopefully Shane Vereen as well today. See how they handle that. I don't think that they're very deep with the linebackers, Buffalo. And I know that they keep talking about the secondary, but all I ever hear when people say how much better Buffalo is defensively is that front four. And it's good.
Not I hearing think about Gilmore necessarily.
I haven't heard. I mean, he got absolutely torched in week one. Now, this is guy's first game. I'm not going to write him off. He's certainly a highly regarded player. Terrence McGee is a guy who's been a solid starter in this league who's not starting anymore.
He's a nickel guy.
He's now a nickel guy, so maybe they are a little bit. You know, with Aaron Williams and Gilmore, maybe they have two young corners who are better now, and now you have McGee, you know, sort of coming in as a nickel back, and, you know, Bird has been a pretty productive safety for them over the – maybe they do have the depth in the secondary, but as me and Andy mentioned earlier in the show, I want to see that. I want them to prove to me that Tom Brady, this isn't the same old Bills secondary that Tom Brady routinely picks apart.
And when, you know, they did create turnovers last year, what was it, 4 picks for Brady in the loss up
Correct.
In Buffalo last season? So, you know.
And still found a way to allow 31 points, right. By the way, while causing 4 turnovers.
While we're on the game plan, you know, Josh McDaniels is someone we talked about a little bit during the pregame show last week. We all thought the sample size was much too small after 2 weeks. But with another week and more to go on here, how have your opinions or feelings on Josh McDaniels as a play caller shifted from last week, if they have at all?
I still think he's fine. I mean, I know there's some criticism. I think the criticism stems more almost from personnel packages than play calling at this point. You know, Woodhead in the game too much. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure those aren't his calls. I think personnel packages, that's a lot of Bill Belichick. I mean, you're talking about big picture type stuff. What does Danny Woodhead represent to our offense? What does Stephen Ridley bring? And beyond that, I think, you know, you put up 30 points against a pretty good team that's going to be battling for the AFC title. You know, I know there was a lot of criticism, end of game, 4-minute offense, execute, don't execute, run the ball, Woodhead, Ridley, you know, kind of that whole conversation that unfolded in the fourth quarter. I'm still on board with Josh McDaniels. I think he still does a very good job, and I still think I'll stick with anyone who's ever been here gets criticized at some point for their play calling, and they always have one of the best offenses because they have Tom Brady, they have Bill Belichick, and you're going to put up a lot of points, make a lot of plays, and there's going to be a few times when people are saying, yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
And I talked a little bit about the play calling after the Arizona game, and I was critical of it. I certainly don't hold the play calling in any blame with that 4-minute offense that Andy just talked about last week. I thought they tried to run the ball. They didn't do it. You had to throw to try to get out of that mess, and they couldn't do it. But I don't think you sit there and just run your head into a wall 3 times and punt. Because that's what would have happened the way that game was going. Both Woodhead and Ridley were well under 3 yards to carry, let alone 4. The one criticism I'd have last week would be I thought there was a little bit too much Woodhead.
Yeah,
but
and I think
when you're that productive against a pretty good team. Now, I know that Baltimore's defense has been not great so far. It's been bad, out and out bad. Brandon Whedon threw for 300-plus Thursday night. So I don't want to get lost in how good Baltimore is defensively. But when you go on the road against a team like that and put up 30 points, you did something right offensively.
No, and I think it's good to differentiate, too, between, you know, the personnel packages and the play calling per se, because I think that is where most fans' ire was coming from, just seeing so much Woodhead last week against Baltimore. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Snow writes in. Guys, I have
snow?
One major concern.
12 inches of snow?
So apparently. The informer is what he is. I only have one major concern about the defense. That's it. And it comes to closing out games and appears to be a schematic issue. It's almost as though It doesn't matter if they force the other team's offense to three and out every single time they come onto the field. Somehow, if the other team has the ball and needs to drive down a score, they do it without a problem. It's like our defense suddenly implements a completely different and stupid game plan for the final drive. Is this an issue with the players or the play calling defensively?
I know every time you give up a late drive, that seems to be the reason why. You're getting too soft or you're doing this. I'd like to see them be more aggressive defensively, but not necessarily in the last drive of the game, although certainly then too. I would just like to see them try to do it a different way. I think that in the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a pattern established where if the other team doesn't make a mistake, the Patriots do not stop many drives. And I understand what Bill does and what he believes in, and I respect it. I think you win a lot of games playing the way Bill Belichick's a great coach and has won a lot of games in this league. But I do think that you need to try to do something a little bit different. And I'll point to, just to play along with this email, the last drive, I'll give you an example. I believe it was 3rd and 9 from about the 34-yard line when they went deep to Jacoby Jones and got the big pass interference penalty. I think that was a time to sell out and just say, you know what, I'm going to send everybody at Flacco here. This is a guy who at times can get flustered under heavy pressure. I think that was one that you just say,
sell out to keep him out of field goal range.
Yeah, I mean, if I can get a sack here, now it's 4th down in about 15. They're probably not going to kick a field goal. I like my chances on 4th and 15. I can win this game. Or if you just force him to throw the ball away, at least I'm forcing a 50-plus yard field goal. You sat back, the guy still ran by you, and, you know, obviously we know how the game ended. They kick a field goal as time expires. Those are the kinds of situations. And, Andy and I have gone back and forth in this. Andy doesn't agree with me, but at the very least, I think they need to do a little bit of it, and they don't really seem willing to do it. I thought what Baltimore did late in the game was just that. They said, it doesn't matter if I give up 15. Now, it's a little different when you're losing because the game's over if you don't do it, whereas they still had it. They still had that mentality of, I got to make Baltimore make a play. I don't want to just hand it to them. Well, to me, ultimately, you ended up handing it to him. You gave him 27 yards on a penalty.
Snow also had an over-under on here, and we've already done a bunch of Brady ones, so I'll boil it down to this one that he added on the back. Vereen snaps if he plays today, and we know that Vereen is active. So Vereen snaps, over-under 10. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say over. That's a big roll of the dice, but I'm going to say over.
Does that include special teams?
No.
I don't think so. I'm gonna assume he meant offensive snaps.
I'm gonna take under.
So I'm with Paul. I'm gonna go over. And you know, we were talking about this before, and Andy boiled it down better than I did. He said, well, you know, they're gonna want to maybe spread him out. They're short with wide receivers, so maybe Vereen can.
The irony is, Andy kind of convinced me the way he talked about it. I thought right. What you said made a lot of sense.
But I also want to see Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, the realistic side of it, Andy's right. I mean, the guy hasn't played yet, and all of a sudden he's going to be a big part of the offense today. And to me, if you play more than 10 snaps.
You're now 25% of the offense.
That's a big part of the offense.
My logic now is we see him maybe cut into the Woodhead. Well, I agree that it's not the greatest logic in the world, but maybe we see him cut into Woodhead snaps a little bit. That's more how I feel about it.
You know
it.
How much we hate Woodhead? I don't think they feel that way. I think they like him.
And Andy says that in a bad way.
Yeah.
We don't hate Woodhead. We just think he plays too much.
Yeah. No, I don't mean like personal.
No,
I think he's a good guy.
Everybody knows it's not personal.
I think he's a diminishing returns guy. I think you need to catch people off guard, and the more you see of him, the less likely he is to succeed. And I think you have weapons that I'd like to see, I think, have more talent. I don't mean that as a shot at Danny Woodhead, but I think Vereen and Ridley have much greater upsides, and I'd like to see those be developed.
I had a guy tweet me in the middle of the game last week after he had that touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you guys going to spend bashing Woodhead this week now?
And then it came back.
No, that was like one of the last plays, but he was averaging like 2.2 yards a carry. Yeah, he ran in the end zone. I mean, should we sit there and tell you how great Bolden was, too?
He does have a cool touchdown dance, so that whole ninja thing, whatever it is.
I like Danny Woodhead. I just think he's too big a part of the offense.
Let's head down to the poll center. Maybe there's a Vereen poll question down there. What do you got, LePan?
Well, we have the results of the last poll. Logan Macon's hip, 81%, overwhelming favorite. CJ
Wait a minute.
Shoulder.
That's not good. If Patriots fans think Logan Mankin's hip is going to have the biggest impact on this game, that means they're worried.
Yeah.
because they think that's going to negatively impact the Patriots.
And I'm still searching for the Patriots fan who's worried in this game.
Well, 91% of them or whatever.
Because I seem to be the only one that thinks that it could be a tighter game than most people concerned
out of the options that were in front of them. So, it doesn't necessarily mean they're concerned about the game per se. It's just these are your options. You got to go with one.
Yeah, but if I thought the Patriots were going to roll, I don't know that I would say the Mankins one is the most impactful. I'm concerned.
I don't know
who Paul's talking to.
Who else was
like gesturing, talking? He's in his own little world over there in the idiot center.
What other injury would concern you more? I'd agree. The Mankins one is the one that you have to be most concerned about, no?
No, but wasn't it impact?
Yeah, will affect today's game the most.
Yeah, the answer is
Spiller shoulder. That's at 13%. That was second place.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
But he's active.
As is mean Fred Jackson.
But Greg Bedard said, I'd be stunned if he's anything other than a decoy today. That's a major impact.
That's similar to what Chris Brown told us earlier. He said he expects him to be more of a passing down guy, so that's fair.
If Spiller and Jackson aren't big parts of the offense, that has a bigger impact to me on the game than Mankins.
Well, maybe.
Unless Kyle Williams absolutely dominates the game.
Like breaks Brady's shoulder, mallets in on the second snap, and... had a big impact.
You know how I go with the offensive line. You know what? There's going to be five of them out there. It doesn't really.
Do we pay him $55 million?
Yeah, I know. As much as I love the guy, I was not in favor of that.
Want to spend it on Welker.
Not that we disliked your old poll.
There was a week there that I wanted to do it.
All right, what's your new poll?
Not that we dislike your old poll. What do you got for a new poll down there?
With Edelman inactive today, who should return punts? I got Vereen, Welker, or other. Those are the guys that you usually see.
Now, I don't love it, but, I mean, Welker's your guy. He did it last week when he went out, and I don't want to see this game ruined by some ball bouncing off a guy's face.
And I doubt we see Vereen returning punts, right?
Be like that time a couple years ago where the porn came on during the Super Bowl and that station got in trouble.
I doubt we see.
Oh, a different kind of ball.
I doubt we see Vereen on punts. Do you think we see him on kick returns?
No, but maybe.
So for the same reason, just you're worried about...
I have no idea about Shane Vereen.
I want to see Shane Vereen do something today. Yeah. Maybe I'm...
He's taking a step. He's going to have a jersey on and be on the sideline. That's a nice, positive first step.
I want to see him
I'd like to see
kicks.
Him step on the field. Now, that'd be great, too. What role that is, I don't know.
I said over on the 10, but at least if I'm not going to get that, I want to see him returning kicks. I don't want to see him returning punts.
Let's go back to the offensive line here for a second. That's where Vishon writes in from New York. Guys, how'd the O-line fare last week? I know there were interests of concern surrounding that unit, add Andy's snickering background comment here. You guys rock, and in the front page of your PFW paper is gaining a lot of notoriety this week, as I've seen it on multiple channels, including Channel 4 and ESPN. Keep it up, Mr. Big Shots.
Been on ESPN?
I missed it on ESPN. Not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's okay.
I haven't caught it on,
reality.
I haven't caught it on any outlet, but that's interesting.
Well, you don't pay attention.
That's true.
Maybe was you're too busy gloating over your Arizona pick from 2 weeks ago.
Or, like, caring about Northeastern, which no one else in the world
does. I don't see any reason why you need to make fun of him for
Seriously,
that.
Seriously.
He is the voice of the Huskies, after all.
That is true.
The offensive line last week, they were fine.
The offensive line, I thought, performed pretty well.
Now, again, I put some of that on Brady. I put some of the negative the week before and the positive this past week, Brady involved it.
My only criticism of the offensive line last week would be...
3.2 a carry, whatever.
Well, I don't think they did anything in the run game, and then when the game was on the line, they weren't up to the task. They had basically two sacks in the last three plays. They had a sack and then a play that they got pressure so fast that it eliminated any chance of a completion. So when the game was on the line, you couldn't do your job.
During
the course of the game, I thought they performed pretty well.
Travis writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com, impressed with the quick response with the Informer reference to snow, writing in by Pac-Man.
There we go.
Every once in a while.
No one else had any idea what you were talking
every
about.
Every once in a
while. Wait, I listed the album.
I was going to say, Andy.
12 inches of snow.
Andy certainly had it first. And
yeah.
I thought Paul was going to jump in with "I lick your bum bum way," but he didn't. He didn't quite jump in with that.
So I just want a trend. You know how on SATs you do this, then this, then this. What's next?
This to this to this equals
so,
this.
So the Patriots average.
I'm going to guess this is a negative.
Average yards per rush, 4.6, 3.2, 2.3.
1.1.
Rut-row, Raggy.
So negative.
And we're talking about how much we think that the interior guys could dominate this game. That's not good.
But yet they have no chance to
get
lose.
A little.
They don't, because when it's 1.1, but the passes, it's like 17.2 per attempt passing, and he throws for 400 yards,
Hello.
You get a little 90s rap so you're reference.
With, so
you get
you're
a
with
little,
me now.
Little SAT reference here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots.
Well, very well rounded.
Hitting the Twitter.
Very well from well rounded program indeed.
Are you done with your talk of snow?
Yeah.
Patrick Chung just bowed at the real refs as he came onto the field. I know Paul likes these sort of gestures coming into.
By the way, what'd you think of Gene Steratore the other night?
I thought he was a mini Ed Hockley.
Right? Like, did he
man,
not,
if they had a mirror on the field, it would have been perfect.
Just a little too much. Like, yeah. I understand we're happy that they're back, but that was even a little much.
Yeah. I'm not exactly the most unbiased when it comes to this topic, but I can just tell you that there was 15 plays the other night that would have been dissected and analyzed to no end.
Mm-hmm. You know, you remember when they gave them that extra 15
no
yards, the extra timeout, they had a 59-minute game,
no, instead
all
they just,
that.
Instead, Paul, they just gave a team an extra play altogether that they didn't have.
Paul was just watching
they
the game
gave
on
a
Thursday
fifth down.
Night, yelling at the television, are you reffing kidding me? That's what he just kept yelling over and over again.
That's
at
right
his television.
That's
is this the Dunkin'
right
Donuts Patriots pregame social? We're, of course, presented by Dunkin' Donuts.
It's a Canadian Dunkin' game. They had extra downs.
Let Dunkin' make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon.
One less, actually.
And ham and cheese sandwiches, guys, are made with care so you can enjoy life's pleasure. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. You know, they just give us food and coffee during the program. Let's talk all over.
I don't drink
week.
Coffee.
Let's get to the phone calls. 508.
Well, stumble through your reads. Maybe we wouldn't talk all over them, bitch.
298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. We'll get the view from the press box, and we'll also do our Sunday six-pack. That's next here on patriots.com.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Phone calls go to 508-298-0398. Emails to webradio at Patriots.com. We get to both momentarily. But did want to announce our winner, Beth Mullen of Boston.
Woo!
For our giveaway earlier today, she wins a free pair of SIE2 Sport headphones from Bose. And this is going to be a weekly giveaway during the Patriots pregame social, so you have your opportunity next week through the end of the season. To push your workout limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat, and weather resistance, a comfortably secure fit, and an exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout, shouldn't you demand more from your headphones too? Bose, game-changing sound and the official sound of the New England Patriots. So again, congratulations to Beth, and you will have opportunities throughout the season to win your own pair. Let's hit the phone calls, 508-298-0398.
What? You could use a pair. Oh, you were talking about headphones.
I was talking about a pair of headphones, correct. Let's go to Craig in South Carolina. You're next up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Hey, Craig.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Whoa! Hey, the infamous Craig from South Carolina.
This is an infamous.
Well, aren't you now Craig in, like, Philadelphia or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just wanted us to know who you were?
Indeed. Yeah, what about it?
What do you got going on?
What's it to you?
You're crawling out of your hole finally.
What's it to you, Hart?
No, it's not that. I'm working all the friggin' time, so I don't get a chance to call in like I used to.
So it sounds like you could buy lunch, though. You're making a lot of money?
Pac-Man Craig was one of the original callers.
Oh, yeah, he's been around forever.
Guy, eh? I mean, we're going back like 12, 13 years.
He's a real Patriots fan.
I like it.
Absolutely, all my life. Speaking of which, Paul.
Yes.
I'm sending you a package. You'll get it probably later in the week.
Does it have white powder in it?
No, unfortunately. In any event,
unfortunately.
I know what a diehard Bledsoe fan you are. I had one Bledsoe jersey that he had never signed. I went up there for, I bought VIP tickets to Troy Brown's induction to the Pats Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I, at the VIP reception afterward, I asked Drew to sign it for me, so I'm sending you that.
Wow.
Wait, you're not giving it to me?
Yeah.
No, Craig, don't send that. That's yours.
Dude, I've got three of them.
Listen, I...
Really, they have no value.
you hold on. That's completely not necessary, Craig. I really appreciate it, but it's really not necessary. But that's really nice.
If you don't want it, I'll keep it, but I was going to send it to you.
Put it up in your bar.
I will.
I sent you guys a couple of pictures, one of which I'm sure you can't post online. It's a picture of
Are you naked, Craig?
No, it's a picture of me and Andy from when I went up there and did the show out of the studio.
I remember when you were here for the show.
He was flipping me off.
Your brother was here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Craig's a
I like
chronic.
Him more than you.
Goes way back.
He kept talking about it was going to be a Pats-Giants Super Bowl and the Giants would win, and then that ended up happening.
So you haven't spoken to him since?
You killed
him?
Yeah,
that wasn't so cool.
Did you off him?
You mailed him a package.
You killed him, didn't you?
But in any event, at the actual induction ceremony, I ended up sitting behind Dion, and, you know, I was talking to him. Of course, at the time, he wasn't on the roster. And I was telling him they're going to go ahead and, you know, sign him. He's like, I don't know, I hope so, and da-da-da-da. It's great to see him back on the team. And looking at this week's games, I think quick passing to the outside, trying to get Ridley on the outside is going to be a key away from the strength of Buffalo's D, which is, of course, the middle. You guys have said that. I think Wes and Dion are going to have a good day. And I think one of the best opportunities to get the ball to Lloyd on the outside is, you know, I mean, he's really good at making double moves. I think the only time Brady's going to have, you know, to provide ample time for that pattern to be set up is if he throws on running plays.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think they want to take a lot of time back there in passing situations and just let the Bills come after him with the way the offensive line looks today. And
yeah,
I think your point of running to the edges is interesting, too, especially to the left side at Mark Anderson, the Bills' right defensive front, because that's not his game. He's a pass rusher. He's undersized. I think Mario Williams is a pretty well-rounded player on that side. So if they were to get Ridley involved and looking to run to the edges, I'd be doing so behind Solder and probably behind Gronkowski on that side.
Yeah, I would have to agree. One thing, I don't know if you guys talked about it this week, but, you know, among all the blown calls from the sub-refs, last week's game, Baltimore punted, and it landed on the helmet of one of their players that was running downfield. Well, it hit him on top of the head at the 43-yard line. The refs marked the ball inside the 35. Did you guys ever see that? You need to go back and look at the film.
I didn't remember.
You could just
that.
You could just ask Gresh when he was breaking down the film. You can go back and I'm sure he
true.
Remembers.
I don't recall that, but that would certainly fall in line with the sum of their career of three games,
no,
and $3.1
no.
million dollars collected.
I was not a happy camper.
But now you're happy because they're going to beat up on the Bills, right?
Well, let's certainly hope so. I certainly think they have the potential to, but. You know, a weird thing about Fitzpatrick, I mean, is there a more schizophrenic quarterback in the NFL? I mean, the guy comes out there one week and looks like Joe Montana. It doesn't happen very often. And then, you know, he throws four or five picks the next game. I don't get that guy. Hopefully it'll be, you know, a three or four pick game.
I'd put Jay Cutler in that category, but I get your point.
Yeah, he certainly has the potential to light it up. So I'm hoping that we see a little bit more blitzing on behalf of Chung, because we really need to create that pass rush.
That's what Paul wants, more blitzing, more pressure, and we'll see if that equates to more success.
Involved. I want to see the linebackers come after the quarterback.
Make sure you stick that
pretty
in
sure
there.
You could see that on the internet a couple years ago. quick update from our soon-to-be phone guest. Eric Scalavino reporting that Donald Thomas is indeed at Logan Mankin's left guard spot
well, there
in
you go.
Warm-ups.
We got nothing really else
well,
to
that,
ask.
That answers that question, then. We will head up to the press box, talk with Eric Scalavino of Patriots.com. But first, let's do our Sunday six-pack.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
That's a good
time
line.
For the Sunday six-pack.
All right, we're going to do this hopefully
such
each and
a
every
voice
week.
Guy. I'm going 6-0 just to prove you wrong.
Here on Patriots.com, we have six games that we'll pick against the spread. Kevin Collins, what do we have here for our first game?
Sorry, you caught me in the middle of a phone call.
On the docket today. What's our first game?
The first game is the 49ers at the Jets. The 49ers favored by 4 points.
Yeah, that's not enough points. I'll take the Niners. I think the Jets are really, really going to have to learn to adjust to life without Darrell Revis, even though they have a very capable fill-in named Joe McKnight coming out of USC, who's a running back who they're just going to let play the other side of the ball. In all seriousness, I think the Niners bounce back big and beat up on the Jets.
I do as well. Kyle Wilson's going to have a lot of pressure on him. Spotlight's certainly shining on him. He's been very up and down in his brief career.
Already pissed people off by refusing to talk to the media.
Yeah, wouldn't talk. That's
a good start.
Not a good way to go about your business. I also think Revis, this is one of those games a lot of people would say, well, you don't really need Revis against a team like San Francisco because they don't really throw the ball as often. But I think it's just the opposite. I think if you had a guy like Revis, you can put eight in the box and say, well, he'll take, you know, Randy Moss or Michael Crabtree or whoever you want to take, even Vernon Davis. And then you can put everybody else up at the run. Well, you're not going to be able to do that with Cromartie and with Kyle Wilson. So it's going to be harder to stop the run. I like the Niners bouncing back
so
as well.
I like the Niners, too. And look, it's 4 points. What do we think it would be if the Niners won last week? And I understand they didn't. But if they came in 3-0 and beat Minnesota, what would it be?
Probably six.
Exactly. So I think the Niners will cover that number. I think they'll win pretty easily. What's our next game, Kevin?
Our second game on the docket here is the Miami Dolphins visiting the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals by 4.5.
I take the Cardinals' physical front to dominate the Dolphins. That's not a very good offensive line. Reggie Bush.
Good alliteration.
Thank you. I'm
physical
a writer.
Front.
I do these things. I'm not sure that's alliteration. I think that's a different word, but we'll go to a
Is it not?
Day. Well, physical and front are spelled differently.
I mean, it's the
and
same
it's a
sound.
Soft sound. I believe it's a little different. But, you know, that's a different
it's
topic
soft,
for
Jay.
A different day. I think that physical front dominates the Dolphins. I think Patrick Peterson will have a turnover at the hands of Ryan Tannehill, and Dolphins get squashed.
Yeah, Reggie Bush not 100%, even if he's able to go. I saw a little while ago he tweeted out that he's had just arrived and had his fingers crossed. But the only way that they would be able to I think,
can't get a better source than the player.
Win a game like this would be to, you know, have a steady diet of the running game. And I'm not sure that Miami is capable of running the ball against Arizona to that extent. I do like the Cardinals to win this game. I thought it would be the spread is a little low to me. Arizona at home, 4.5.
Right, like you would think that game was in Miami or something, right?
Yeah, I've seen this as a touchdown, and in which case I did take Miami on the radio, in our radio show, but I will take Arizona with 4.5. I think they have enough to get that done.
Yeah, that's right. He's covering all his bases.
I'm going to take Arizona as well to beat up on Miami and Ryan Tannehill. What's our next game, guys?
Third game, the Oakland Raiders visiting the Denver Broncos. The Broncos by 7 points here.
I am going to take the Broncos. They're at home. A wise man once told me that's a tough place to play. And I am just anti-Raiders, Carson Palmer. I just don't think they get it done against good competitive teams. And I'm not saying the Broncos are good, but they're competitive. And I think Peyton will have some success today.
Yeah, I agree. I think Denver opens it up and wins this one going away. And then it'll set up an interesting game next week when they come here.
So I think the Broncos win. I think the Raiders cover that. I thought the Raiders looked pretty good playing Pittsburgh last week. I think they can cover a touchdown spread.
You don't speak very definitively. You kind of end all your strong points with question marks.
What
I
do you
think
mean?
They can cover that.
I think it's
Ron Burgundy.
I think they were pretty good.
I think they can possibly cover that number. Anyway, I'm going with the Raiders. I'll take the points. What's four, Kevin?
All right, number four, the Saints visiting the Packers. The Packers by 7.
Pack attack. I think you have an angry, angry Green Bay team that is going to look to take it out on the Saints. And let's be honest, the Saints have been a little bit of a team you could beat up on this year. And I don't think they have the points. And I know, and that Packers defense isn't great. We all know that. But they can make plays. You can get Clay Matthews hot at any point in a game, and he can beat up on Drew Brees. I think the Packers are actually going to rout the Saints in this one at Lambeau.
I do as well. Who'd have thought these teams would be 1-5 heading into this game combined? Green Bay's defense isn't great, but it's played pretty well so far. And, you know, maybe some cherry-picked opponents that were weak offensively.
Russell Wilson.
Has certainly helped that. But I agree with Andy. I think that at home, at Lambeau, I think they – listen, no team was wronged out of a victory more than that last week, and I think they take it out on New Orleans today, who gave up over 500 yards to the Chiefs last week.
Yeah, and we'll make it a clean sweep because I think the Pack win – I think they win big, and my pick has more to do with the way the Saints have been playing. Yeah. I just think they've been such a mess. You almost have an opportunity to just give up and throw in the towel on the season. Not saying everybody will do that, but the majority of the locker room seems like it's going that way with Aaron Kromer. So I guess I feel worse about the Saints than I do about the Packers, which is why I'll take Green Bay. What's next, Kev?
Number five, the Giants visiting the Eagles. The Eagles by 2.5.
Don't do that. I'm going to take the Eagles. Sooner or later, they're going to stop turning the ball over, I assume. Otherwise, you know, they're not a very good football team, and it'll really catch up with them in the end. And the Giants still have a lot of injuries. I know that, you know, I think Nix is going to play. Did I see that?
He's out, I believe.
No, Nix is out. Okay. Nix is inactive.
So he has a new injury, a knee injury now.
I just can't expect, you know, that was a nice story where, you know, well, the fill-ins are making plays, 100 yards, 100 yards. I just don't see it working out that well against a pretty talented Eagles team. So I'm going Eagles.
I like the Giants in this game. I think they are a better football team than the Philadelphia Eagles. The injuries do concern me. Andy's right. But I think that Eli Manning finds a way to get it done. And this is a big game for the Eagles. They need to, as Andy said, they need to clean a lot of things up. I think that 9 turnovers or something like that in the first 3 games. Good teams don't do that. But the Giants can turn you over, and I think they will continue that that trend against the Eagles. I think the Giants pull off a very mild upset.
What's the number, Kev? Two and a half. So that tells you on a neutral field, Giants would be slight favorites. I also think they're the better team. I'll go with New York as well. What's our last one?
What are we playing for here? Well, when I win this at the end of the year, what do I get?
Poops and giggles.
Get a set of Bose headphones.
We'll discuss. Yeah.
Can a brother get a set of Bose headphones?
Last game. Last game on the docket here. Yep. Bears visiting the Cowboys. Cowboys by 3.5.
A couple quarterbacks I don't like counting on when I make picks. I'm going to go with the home team, the Cowboys. I just feel a little bit better about them. I hate Jay Cutler, quite frankly. Brandon Marshall hasn't done a ton for them. I'm not feeling the Bears. I know they were kind of like a popular pick early in the year. I don't see why. I don't like their coach, their quarterback, and to me in the NFL, that's two important things. Blah, blah.
I actually like the road team again, Chicago.
I don't like
Jay Cutler, as Andy said, but I think that this is another game like the Giants. I'm going with what I think is the better football team. And regardless of venue, I think Chicago is better than Dallas. I agree with Andy's point. There was a lot of sort of fringe Super Bowl talk.
He's unamused.
As we're keeping him awake. There was a lot of fringe Super Bowl talk for the Bears in preseason. Quite frankly, I didn't get it, and I don't get it now.
Theoretically, they should have a chance since the other Super Bowl teams are combined 1-5.
They're all off to a bad start, but they haven't done anything to take advantage of it. However, I think that they are a better team than Dallas, and they're going to win.
I'm going to go with the quarterback I like better, Tony Romo, even though that's it's a losing proposition right there, and also go with the home team. So I'll go with the Cowboys as well. That's our Sunday six-pack. Keep a running tally of that we'll figure out a TBD gift at the end
at
of the season.
At least a six-pack.
We'll say.
Can a brother get a six-pack? And maybe
really
the Miller Lite with
a
screw-on so you get the little extra.
That really should be what it is. Anyway, that's our Sunday six-pack. Right now, let's head up to Buffalo, get the view from the press box from Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric Scalavino joining us from Buffalo. And Eric, we were monitoring some tweets from you earlier. Sounds like Donald Thomas is going to be taking over for Logan Mankins at that left guard spot, at least if pregame workouts are any indication. What's the takeaway there?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He took all the snaps there. Didn't really rotate with anybody when they went with the second and third guys in the warm-up drill. So it looks like it's Donald Thomas's job today, and he'll need to perform a lot better than he did when he was taking over at right guard a couple of weeks ago against Arizona, because he had a really poor game that day, and it affected the outcome of the game for the Patriots.
And he faces a challenge, obviously. There's a pretty good defensive front there for the Bills, four-man across the line, plus the two interior guys. I'd argue Kyle Williams, one of the more underrated players in the league, and what Darius brings to the table. But, the Mankins injury isn't the only one that I think fans are concerned with. There's another hip injury we need to talk about, and that's Rob Gronkowski, who generally dominates in his backyard there. What did you see from him in terms of just movement in warm-ups and whether he may be limited by that injury?
Yeah, the first thing I was trying to do was figure out which hip it was, because obviously that wasn't specified in the injury report. Just from my untrained eye, it kind of looked like he was favoring his right leg the way he was walking a little bit. So if I had to guess, I'd say it was that one. Now, as far as it was affecting him, I didn't really notice too much. He seemed to be cutting pretty well, and when he was doing cuts, he was cutting mostly to the right when he was sort of warming up. So I don't know if he was trying to put stress on that side or, whatever he was trying to push off with the other one. I'm not really sure. But he didn't seem all that affected by it from what I saw in his warm-ups. I know some other people said that he looked like he was laboring a little bit, but I think he might have been just a little bit slower than I'm used to seeing him. But I don't know if other than that it was, there wasn't any noticeable limp in his game-related warm-up activities. As he walked, he was a little bit maybe favoring one side. But other than that, he seemed okay to me.
Eric, what's Shane Vereen doing in the pregame?
Not a whole lot, Paul, really. And I was hoping to see a little bit more. And it's kind of the same thing on the other side for the Bills with C.J. Spiller. The two of them weren't really doing a whole lot in warm-ups. Fred Jackson for the Bills has a huge brace on his right knee and looks like he's laboring a little bit, or at least was in warm-ups when he was out here. But was hoping to see a little bit more from Vereen, but they didn't really give him the ball all that much. So I was thinking maybe he would take a few more reps away from Danny Woodhead today, but it looks like he was getting third team snaps with the offense here, and not that many of them either. So I don't know if they're just trying to hide him or what the deal is, but didn't really get a good look at anything from him today, sadly.
One of the topics is, you know, how gray it is in Buffalo, and I kind of joked on Twitter that it's always gray in Buffalo. But, you know, in a serious nature, is there an expectation that wind or rain or anything could play a factor in this game? Could it be a sloppy game?
It could be. I mean, we woke up and it had already been raining. There were puddles everywhere, and it was just, you know, the window of the hotel was all wet. And then it showered a couple of times in the morning before we even got to Ralph Wilson. Since we've been here, though, it hasn't. The skies have been very threatening. In fact, they are right now. Very gray, dark clouds over the stadium. But so far, the field has been dry. I think, you know, they tarped it, obviously, overnight. And so the field right now is in pretty good condition. There isn't really a whole lot of wind to speak of. But that could change later on. We were looking at some of the radar images on our phones, and it looks like there could be potential for something later this afternoon. So right during the middle of the game, we could get some sort of weather impact, but that remains to be seen. I mean, the sun keeps poking out every once in a while too, so it's kind of a weird day here.
Well, have fun staying in Rochester then. On the if the commute back doesn't go well.
Oh yes, those halcyon days in Rochester from a couple of years ago. One little weird, interesting note here: the University of Pittsburgh band is warming up on the field right now. I kid you not, the band is on the field, and it's the University of Pittsburgh. God knows why.
Yeah, why are they? It's Buffalo, and there is a University of Buffalo.
Doran Dickerson fan club?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe.
What the hell's going on up there?
Should I take notes and get the Screaming Eagles marching band out here?
No, you should not. We don't need any bands on the field. Bands are wastes.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, both teams clearly aren't on the field right now. But, yeah, as far as the injuries go, I would look out for Bonk and what he's going to be able to do. And keep an eye on Donald Thomas today. I mean, especially after you know, what he wasn't able to do against Arizona. That's going to be, as Andy said, against those interior guys. That's going to be, the matchup to watch today.
One last injury-related note. I'm assuming Wes Welker will take the punts in Julian Edelman's stead, but did anybody else?
That in warm-ups, yep.
Anybody else? Who would be next in line?
Looked like they were giving it to him. I mean, if we had to guess, I would say Deion Branch, but that's only because I've seen him do it before in warm-ups. They were really giving Welker the bulk of that today, I guess, to, you know, get him reacclimated to it, because he doesn't really do it all that often except, you know, the plus 50 punts when he stands on the 10 and just fair catches. But I don't know. It looks like it was just going to be him, so if they have a backup plan, it would be interesting to see who they pick.
All right, Eric, enjoy the spread there in Buffalo.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.
All right, Eric Scalavino, Patriots.com, joining us from Buffalo.
He makes it sound so easy. All he ever does is the plus 50 punts where he stands on the 10 and fair catch. You know, maybe one of the harder jobs in the NFL to do. Make a decision. You got guys barreling down on you. You know, Bill Belichick will absolutely eat you alive if you screw it up. But that's all he does.
Well, I was going to let it go, but since you opened the door, I'm going to kick it through. Everybody on Twitter seems to be saying that Patrick Chung was also catching punts with Welker. Evidently, our eye in the sky did not catch that.
Gotcha.
Welker past the end of his own nose.
Welker getting the bulk of it. Let's squeeze in another phone call here. 508.
Continuing with the contradictory tweets / information. Greg Bedard said it clearly looked like Gronk was laboring.
What a wuss you are.
Didn't look well.
He doesn't even call Eric out when he's got a chance to defend himself.
Well, in fairness, he's not paying attention. Really.
And on the second thing, I say that's completely open to interpretation.
Can say he looks laboring.
No, I mean, if one person saw Patrick Chung fielding punts and another person didn't, that's not open for interpretation. It either happened or it didn't. But whether or not Gronk was running well or not, I think that is.
Let's squeeze in another phone call here. 508-298-0398. Chris is from the Arizona Pats Fans Club, and he's next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Hey, Chris.
So, big game today.
Very much so. 1-3, not the way. And you know, I wanted to bring this up earlier. Bill Belichick is a big believer in polls, and this is you'll be at the quarter poll after this game. And we don't always track that in the poll center, but
I was going to say Matt LePan's ears perked up a little bit.
You certainly don't want to be 1-3 at the quarter point of an NFL season. I don't care how good you are, how light you think your schedule is, and you know now you'll be two games behind the Bills at 3-1 in the division. That's This is a big game, and as Vince Wilfork said, our back's against the wall, but the only thing they can do is play better. If they play better, they're going to win the game, but that's up to them, not anybody else.
Yeah, I think absolutely it's going to be a huge game. It's a division game. I mean, hopefully the trend of using Welker, he had a big week last week, and hopefully that'll continue through, and you know, not to keep harping on these replacement officials, but it's sort of good to see the regular guys back, and hopefully maybe, you know, it'll start, I don't want to say favoring the talented teams, but I think they allowed a lot of the mugging teams to do their thing, and hopefully it'll be an even playing field now.
So are you worried about this game today? Obviously, you say it's a big game, but are you concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a concern, because we're obviously playing in somebody else's stadium. We're playing a division rival that I know we've had a good record beating them here over the last several years, but I still remember back to that, what was it, a 31-0 drubbing?
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, anything can happen on any given day, you know, but I think the Patriots are going to be up for it. I think this is a huge game, and hopefully they'll come to the forefront and play their game.
All right, well, Chris, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398, listening to us here in Arizona. Look, we appreciate all the feedback here on the Patriots pregame social. All three of us not just picking the Pats to win, but to cover as well, as we view this thing with the Patriots going up to Buffalo, a venue where they lost last season. I will talk to you on the Sun Live Patriots postgame show. Hopefully, Pats pull back to 500, and we'll all talk to you next week here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Buffalo Bills.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.